the Public News Service Friday afternoon update. I'm Mike Clifford. Prosecutors played an audio recording of a 2016 phone call between President Trump and his then-attorney Michael Cohen in court. CNN reports that on the call, you can hear Trump respond to Cohen saying he needed to open a company and that he's spoken with the Trump Organization's chief financial officer, Alan Weisselberg, about how to set the whole thing up. The prosecution alleges the company was set up to facilitate a $150,000 payment to Karen McDougal. Today, the expert who extracted the secret tape of Trump returns for more testimony. And as part of an effort to restore the Mississippi River Delta, an organization is collaborating with nature to address environmental challenges. We get the details from our Danielle Smith.
Big Muddy is the second longest river in North America, flowing more than 2,300 miles. Simone Malaz with Restore the Mississippi River Delta says a coalition uses nature-based solutions to help tackle some of the river's environmental problems in Louisiana and Mississippi.
The Mississippi River, and we use the power and the sediment that that river provides to help us to put solutions into place. For example, we might have an area of wetlands that need to be nourished with fresh water or sediment. We can tap into that wonderful resource that we have.
Malaz says farmers are turning to nature-based solutions using cover crops.
Meantime, conservation groups, tribes, and community organizers are praising President Joe Biden's decision Thursday to expand two national monuments in California.
Together, the monuments will gain about 120,000 acres. The Berryessa Snow Mountain National Monument is 90 minutes northwest of Sacramento, and the San Gabriel Mountains National Monument lies just east of Los Angeles. Brenda Gallegos with Hispanic Access Foundation says millions of urban families live close to the San Gabriel Mountains.
A lot of our Latino communities don't have access to nature. 67% of Latino communities don't have access to green spaces or blue spaces. So having these expansions designated brings us closer to closing that nature gap.
I'm Suzanne Potter.
The move makes progress towards Biden's goal of protecting 30% of the country's public lands by 2030. Next to Wisconsin, the current home to a unique traveling exhibit, the collection displays works made by individuals being held in prisons around the state. Deborah Bremer is the exhibit curator, and she admits that organizers and attendees were pleasantly surprised at the quality of the artwork, given the type of pain that it stems from.
It's about hardship, it's about crimes, it's about victims.
This story, produced with original reporting from Kate Moss for Arts Midwest. Arts Against the Odds is on view now at the Neville Public Museum in Green Bay. This is Public News Service. Next to Vermont, where hundreds of households and businesses are taking advantage of energy rebate programs as they rebuild from last summer's historic floods. We get more in this Energy News Network, Solutions Journalism, and Vermont News Service collaboration.
Residents can receive up to $10,000 per household to repair or replace damaged energy systems and appliances. Matthew Smith with Efficiency Vermont says the utility is helping in recovery efforts in nearly every county.
It all starts with getting in touch with Efficiency Vermont. We assess folks' income and the damage to their home, and we go from there to figure out what the next best step is.
Smith says households with lower incomes are often eligible for a 100% cost coverage program in which contractors are paid directly by the state, eliminating the need for any payments up front. I'm Catherine Carley reporting.
And our Mike Mullen reports on a North Dakota petition drive for marijuana legislation.
A North Dakota group called New Economic Frontier is behind the ballot initiative. If put before voters, it would be the third time they consider the idea. Similar questions failed in 2018 and 2022. Dickinson Mayor Scott Decker says if it wins this time, the state has to honor the will of the voters. Whether or not his area would see economic benefits and new residents, he points out energy jobs have a big presence there, and there is a potential conflict.
Individuals working in the energy sector are still going to have to pass drug tests. That's just the standard in the industry. Safety is paramount.
He also wonders about local police having enough resources to secure technology for field sobriety tests, especially if revenues don't trickle down to his city of nearly 25,000 people. But Decker acknowledges other criminal justice aspects of legalization, noting there are too many people with low-level marijuana offenses who are incarcerated.
Finally, from Mark Richardson, a new film documents the 2018 battle between Colorado environmentalists and the oil and gas industry over proposed fracking regulations.
The film also documents a grassroots effort by Colorado Rising to pass a ballot initiative that would create a 2,500-foot setback for all hydraulic fracturing wells in the state, particularly in disadvantaged neighborhoods. Sarah Schulte is with the Boulder County Green Faith Organization, which recently previewed the film for about 100 members. She says the film has a strong message.
What probably makes the film pretty dramatic and kind of shocking is the lengths to which oil and natural gas industries in Colorado set out to thwart them, not only with some of the tactics you might expect, but also some kind of more nefarious tactics.
The film, Fracking the System, Colorado's Oil and Gas Wars I, the Spirit of Activism Award at the Colorado Environmental Film Festival. This is Mike Clifford. Thank you for wrapping up your week with Public News Service. Member and listener supported. Hear us on great radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.